Hallelujah, he's risen.
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah. I had a near resurrection experience a couple of weeks ago. I don't know, I wasn't sure if I should share this, but I was mowing my lawn and I had earmuffs on, and underneath my big soundproof earmuffs was little earpieces coming from my iPhone, listening to podcasts and worship music, and I'm mowing around the yard. I'm getting around the back of the house a bit and I ran out of fuel. So anyway, went back into the shed and got a great big drum of fuel because I'm on this ride-on mower, nice big mulching mower. And I sort of got around the back of it and I had to lean over the thing because I had this big tank and sort of wanting to get it just right into the tank. And I must have been leaning over like this, tipping it in, and the machine had stopped. And I'm sort of hung over the back seat of the ride-on mower. And all of a sudden, I didn't know this, but Deb's yelling out to me. She's yelling out. She can't see I've got earmuffs on. She can't hear I'm lost in worship. And she probably thinks of, goodness me, he's had a heart attack and he's curled over the back of the mower. And she's yelling out, and she came and she had immense relief that I was alive. So so anyway, that night I said to her, look, we should go out for dinner. She said, where? I said, we should go out for dinner and we should go see a movie. We should celebrate. She said, celebrate. I said, yeah, I'm alive. You know? Anyway, that was my little story. But I've been watching as well the last few days. My son Chris put me onto a... I don't watch Netflix very much. I keep it for a few kids that visit us from time to time. But he told me there was this great thing on called AD... And it was a series about, like a mini series about starting from the crucifixion right through to somewhere in the middle of Acts, in the book of Acts. Quite well done. But in that series, I got a bit hooked on it. We watched it over a few days, and there's a resurrection scene in there. And it shows this scene where this angel suddenly appears and rolls back the tomb. You know, and I thought, you know, we sort of read it in a book, we picture it in our minds, but it's great sometimes seeing it and feeling the emotion of what it would have felt like watching an angel come along and roll back at this great mighty stone of a tomb. And all those guards are sort of scattering and whatever happened to them and fearful. But out of that tomb he rose, you know, all those clothes just crumpled up. And he just walked out. You know, what an amazing thing. And it's not a story. It's not a story. It's an event in history. It happened in a real place amongst real people like you and me in real time. It happened. I tell you, that is... Ben's talking about good news. That is just... That is the greatest story that's ever been told, isn't it? That Jesus, not only that he died... but he rose from the dead. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said he appeared to Peter. Amazing, he appeared to Peter. Peter that was coward and was ashamed to know him, was fearful at his last hours, but he appeared to Peter. First person he appears to is a woman. All the others are fearful. All the others aren't even up to go into the tomb. They're too scared. There's a woman that goes to the tomb and it's Mary, and she sees him, you know, the first witness to the resurrection. But it says he talks to the church at Corinth. He said he appeared to Peter. This is Paul saying this. Then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of brothers at the same time. 500 people in one place saw him alive and risen from the dead. No wonder this event transformed Rome and the empire. No wonder it spread. No wonder the power of this thing just was undeniably it happened. You know, it said, blessed are those that have not seen and believed. You know, we believe because we've read it, we've experienced him, and we put our trust in it. But blessed, but these people, 500, saw it. You know, it would have spread like fire. Then it says, 500 others at the same time, most of whom are still living. You get up and say, I don't think it occurred. I've got this theory about the resurrection. I've got this theory about the death on the cross. You know, you'd have 20 guys popping up saying, no, I saw it. I saw it. And it happened. Once he was dead, now he's alive. You know, it spread. It said, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. There were people that could testify to the resurrection. It's the greatest event in history. Without the resurrection, we have no Christianity. It is so central to us. Paul said that if Christ did not rise, our faith is futile. It has no meaning. We are still dead in our sins. You know, there's no hope for us. I thought about what event would you like to witness if you had a choice? Okay, you're in heaven or wherever you are and you've got an option. Ivan, any story in this book, you get to replay the video or something, you know? Which one do you want for today? What do you want to watch, Ivan? Creation. That's funny. I've got that first on the list. I don't know why. But what an amazing thing to witness, creation. What about the crossing of the Red Sea? What about Moses? God saying to him, you know, stretch out your staff and those waters part. You know, we sort of read these stories. Wouldn't it be great to watch them? Wouldn't it be great to, you know, not just recall it in your mind? It'd be great to have a dream, wouldn't it, Ben? Going to bed one night and all of a sudden in your dream, you're watching exactly what happened. Just imagine the emotions you'd feel. Just let your imagination go a bit wild for a minute. What about David and Goliath? David charging at that giant with courage, you know? I would love to see that. Everybody else sort of in fear, and a young 17-year-old or whatever age he was, a young guy, a David, saying, you know, who is this guy to defy the armies of Israel? You know, he knew, he was confident in his God that he could run at this giant, thought, you know, you're thinking you can defy the armies of the living God, and he ran at him. You know, what a great video to watch tonight. Hey, wouldn't that be good? Let's sit back, Ben, have some crackers and cheese or whatever and watch David and Goliath, you know. Hallelujah. You know, I thought about the cross. You know, when I picture the cross, and we're going to share communion today as well, but when I look at the communion, the emotions that I feel is like Ben shared, I think of God's great love, his motivating love. His great love, that's the emotion I feel. That's the message that it speaks to me. That's the imagination goes through my mind of his great love, his amazing grace. But when I picture the resurrection, I get different thoughts. When I watch that angel pushing back that stone on that video and I start thinking about the resurrection and he's risen from the dead, I think different thoughts. I think God is alive. I think I'm not putting my faith in just some good words or some ethics or something like that. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. I think of those songs like Ben was saying, no matter what, even when we're in a storm, God comes through for us. Who's been in a storm and God has come through for you? It's happened. We've experienced it because of the resurrection. Debbie got up and said, the waves are crashing against our wall and yet there's a confidence that God can come through for us. It gives me immense hope. But the other thing, the thing that challenges me about the resurrection and the imagination that goes through my mind is God is a God of the miraculous. God intervened in a miraculous way and raised the dead. And it challenges me to, we've got this value in our mission, in our values. I'll read it to you. It says, I'm probably skipping ahead here. We are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. That's who we are as a church. We are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit and therefore hunger for a life that is intimate with God and contends for the miraculous. You know, I find the resurrection stirs something in me that says, God, you are the God of the miraculous, and to reach out for more. Remove the resurrection and our Christianity is dead. Our Christianity is without hope. Our Christianity is without power. In John, it records the words of Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He's alive. Christianity is more than an ideology. It's more than good ethics. It's more than moral teaching to be adhered to because it has benefits if you live that way. It's more than that. I was listening to the Easter messages on the news, and, you know, sometimes they just lack a bit of punch, don't they? Some of the people that said, I heard a few politicians get up, and I thought, you know, they start referring back to Easter messages framed around the teachings of Jesus or the way he lived and, you know, how that can be an example to us. But the first sermon that was ever preached was not an appeal to live according to the same kind of character that Jesus had. It wasn't an appeal to recall his superior ethics to live by. It was a proclamation that Jesus, this man who was executed and they watched die on a cross, God had raised him from the dead. That was the message. That's what burned in their hearts. That's what set them on fire. That's what changed, turned the world upside down, was the power of the resurrection and the fact that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelt in these people. It's just such a great story. Christianity is all about a living God who stepped into our broken world. And he stepped into our world as well. He stepped into our world. He took the initiative to rescue us. In John, this is what the Apostle John says. It says, "This is him which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched." He is real. He's alive. He's not a story in a book. He's not just an ethical way we want to live. He is the living God, and he intervened in our lives. It's just such a great story. I grew up in a home where God was talked about, where we went to a church, but I would say that I never experienced the living God till one day when I'd sort of drifted away. And one day I was longing for something more and somebody told me that Jesus was alive. And I remember coming home to live with my dad, who had a real experience with God and invited me to come home and stay with him to save for an overseas trip I was planning for. And I moved back into the house and I was on drugs and I was a long way from God. But I would notice something had changed in my father's life. It was more than what he used to talk about. It was someone that was living inside of him. And he was praying and there was supernatural things going on in his life. When he'd be in the morning, I'd be getting up to have my breakfast and my dad would be in his room praying. And I thought, God, my cage is being rattled. You are alive, you know. And I started to get hungry for what I'd longed for as a child. And I thought, God, if you're real, I'm up for it. And it is the living God that we long for. He is alive. That's what we signed up for, wasn't it? That's what we signed up for. Not for all the ethics and all the good life and all these things come with it. But to tell you what, we signed up for a living relationship with a living God. You know, after the crucifixion, the disciples had lost all hope. The crucifixion had shattered all their hopes, the hopes of a Messiah who would restore everything to them. They'd followed this guy for 3 years and they knew over time they were convinced this is the Messiah and the kingdom is going to be restored and they are on the cusp of something great. You know, they would have been an excited bunch of guys, wouldn't they? Traveling around with this Messiah, working miracles, seeing 5,000 people fed, all the things they witnessed. They would have seen the dead raised. They would have seen him touch a coffin being carried along or a briar or whatever it was of a widow's son and Jesus touches it and this guy suddenly comes alive, sits up. They would have seen things. They would have thought, it's happening. We're onto it, you know. We are so excited. And all of a sudden, he's on a cross. They're all in fear. They're scattered, and he's died on a cross. They were so shattered, and they were hiding in fear. No one wanted to know him. It took a Sanhedrin, a Pharisee or someone to have the courage, maybe because he wasn't needed to be in such fear, who went and asked for the body. No one else even had the courage to ask to bury the man that they'd loved for all these years. They just fled. They were without hope. Every dream they had was shattered. And on the road to Emmaus, they had remarks like this: we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And suddenly they realized who they were talking to, and he's risen from the dead. And I tell you what, the resurrection to me proclaims that with Jesus, there is never a dead end. There's never a dead end. He always comes through for us. He never leaves us disappointed, disillusioned, and without hope. Doesn't matter how difficult the circumstance you're facing, doesn't matter how difficult it looks, doesn't matter how big the waves are that are bashing against your wall, he will come through for you. It says, my anchor holds within the storm. He will come through for us. There is always hope. It's never a dead end with him. There may be a pause. There may be a time between there was a few days between him dying on a cross and being raised from the dead, but he rose from the dead. There was a third day. God always has the last word. The final act always belongs to him, doesn't it? And it was the resurrection. It's not over till it's over. So hang in. This speaks of hope. I've shared this before, but I love the story of the Battle of Waterloo, 1850, and they reckon the English were engaged against the French, who were fighting under Napoleon, and the British were fighting under Wellington. And the cathedral in England would put up a message how the battle was going. And one day the people got up, and they'd seen this message come up, but there was a bit of a fog that had come in as well. And the message they read was, Wellington defeated. And, you know, their hearts began to panic and fear. But all of a sudden, the fog began to lift, and they saw another couple of words below it, the enemy. You know, Wellington defeated the enemy. I tell you, you know, at the cross, a fog swept in. You know, but at the resurrection, the fog lifted. The reality of what was really going on was revealed. And we can have a fog come over our lives sometimes. We can feel like I am defeated, I am broken, there is no hope, I'm not going to get through this, I'm helpless. But if we will look at the message of what God wants to speak to us, it's not defeat. He's saying, I'm risen. I am risen. And there's hope. There's always hope. He always comes through. He'll always lift us. The fog will lift. The Bible is full of encouragement for every generation. Every story in that book, every generation. I mean, I was only reading this week about Daniel. You know, it doesn't matter which book you're up to reading. There's a miracle in there. There's an intervention from God. Daniel's in a lion's den, you know, for doing the right thing. And even the king didn't want him there, but they had to put him there because he had to keep his word. And the next thing, there's lions in there, probably haven't eaten for 3 or 4 days, and yet Daniel gets out of that den, you know. There's guys that get his mates a few years before that are put into a fiery furnace to die, and there's a fourth man in there. You know, it's not over till it's over, you know. God comes through for us. Joseph gets sold as a slave, and ultimately he ends up as the prince of Egypt, and he saves his brothers. You know, there's story after story after story that what looks hopeless turns into the greatest victory, and it's because of Jesus. And the greatest story of them all is Jesus dying on a cross for our sins, and we think it's all finished, and he's risen from the dead, and he's conquered, and he's won, and it's not over till it's over. And it's just a great story. When you're at your limit, trust him, put your hope in his promises. He will always come through. The resurrection speaks enormous hope to us. Because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also. What a great promise. My last breath on earth will be followed by my first breath in heaven. He will come through. Hallelujah. We also had a prophecy this morning that Jesus is coming again. He is the first fruits. When he's risen from the dead, it says he was the first fruits. There's another resurrection coming. It says the dead in Christ shall rise. You know, we shall all rise with him. He's coming. He shall return. You know, it's not over till it's over. There's more coming. We can always put our hope in him. But the last thing I want to talk about is the resurrection speaks to me of supernatural power, God's intervention in power. Only, you know, I'm sure there could be many here today that would say, God, except you intervene in this situation for me, I am done. I need a miracle. I need you to intervene for me. You know, when I look at the resurrection, it speaks to me that I serve a living God, not a God that's dead. I serve a living God who steps into history, a God who does miracles, a God who declares he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm challenged. I'm challenged to not just put my hope that he'll get me through, but even challenged to believe him for an intervention, to believe him to break into where I am, to believe for what he can do. You know, I said before, we didn't sign up to follow a rule book. We didn't sign up to follow a code of ethics. We decided to follow the living God who raises the dead. And there are times for all of us where our circumstances can only be changed by a supernatural intervention of God. I've been there. You've been there at times. You live long enough, there'll be a time where you are desperate for God to help you. You know, I can remember standing in this place with a 3-year-old son in need of a miracle, and I was desperate, you know, and helpless, and tears rolling down my cheeks. And I thought, God, you have to intervene here or I am not going to make it. You know, I cannot. This is too big for me. I've had other times in my life been through things. I'm not going to say everything, but I've had times if you live long enough, there will be times where you're desperate. God, God, are you alive? God, are you real? Where is the God of Elijah? You know, where is the God that I read about in this book? You know, my hope is in you, but God, I need your intervention. You know, that's our hearts that long for. Life presents challenges, enormous challenges, even for Christians, for us all. Maybe it's illnesses, severe things. We're looking to God. Maybe it's a job. We need a job. Maybe it's children that have drifted away from the Lord that we're longing for. Maybe it's broken relationships that you feel you can't see healed. Maybe it's a troubled marriage. Maybe it's mental illness. Maybe it's financial stress. Impossible situations that only the supernatural hand of God can change. The resurrection speaks to me that such a God lives. Such a God lives. Not just someone I hope for, someone I think it's going to get better, but someone I can throw my anchor in there and I can say, God, I am looking to you. And I mean, I can't manipulate God, but I tell you, I can throw my anchor in and I can hang on to him and I can believe him to come through for me with a miracle. And that's what I'm challenged by when I look at the resurrection. And that's, you know, we put this value on our website. You know, we worked these out last year, the leaders in the church, and we wanted to say, who are we? What do we believe in? And, you know, of course we hunger for a life that's intimate with God. Ben's been doing a series at night for the last few weeks, intimacy with God. We're longing for intimacy with God. We love it. We love to worship this morning, experience God. But, you know, we throw in that extra bit, a bit of a bite there, and we're going to contend for the miraculous. Are we up for it? Are we up to believe that there is a living God who intervenes in people's enormous need and does miracles? Will we contend for that? The resurrection, we talk about it, but it challenges us to be people that contend for that. Is there a cry in our hearts, where is the God of Elijah? I thought about Peter when he went past the temple. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I tell you, I might have a little bit of silver and gold because I've gotten a bit older, but I tell you, I'm longing more for the such as I have. You know, do we want some such as I have? We want to have something supernatural from God that we can give to a broken world. How serious are we about it? How up for the God of the miraculous are we? What kind of God do we serve? We serve the living God who raises the dead. Now, we're not God. We can't manipulate him. He's sovereign. It's not a matter, I think, of cracking the code. Someone might have cracked it by now that's smarter than all of us, but they haven't cracked the code. It's not about getting the formula right. But he's faithful, he's true to his word, he's consistent to his nature, and we can throw our anchor in to a faithful God. And I thought about, when I think about this, I think of surfing. You ever think of a surfer? He's out there ready to catch a wave, you know. All my friends when I was young, they all used to go surfing. I never quite mastered that, but they surfed. And I tell you what, no matter what that surfer did, he could never make the wave. God makes the wave. But I tell you what, they could position themselves to ride that wave. And I thought, God, we need to position ourselves. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. We need to be pressing into God, seeing what he's doing, and we need to do what he's doing. How do we contend for the miraculous? How do we position ourselves? What would be the habits of a people who are contending for the miraculous? What would your life look like? What would be different? What would change? What would position you to see miracles in this place? What would position us? What would position us for it? This is what I think. The first thing is, and it's in our values, it says we hunger for a life that is intimate with God. We're hungry for Jesus. That would position us. My observation is when Jesus is present, miracles happen. Miracles happen. When we're worshipping him with all our hearts, when we're exalting him, when we're hungering for a life that's intimate with him, miracles will happen. My observation is that people who have a genuine intimacy with God, not religious, but intimate, who prioritize it in their life, people who seek him, who pray. My observation is coincidences happen a little bit more for them than they do for me. People that really pursuing God. I notice that they catch extra waves. I notice that stuff happens. There's a link. I was challenged at the beginning of the year. We had 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, and we put up a message by Alan Meyer. And I've really enjoyed Alan Meyer in the last 12 months. The guy came here to preach late last year, and we're doing some of his life keys courses that we're doing for small groups. But I was challenged by this guy is almost 70 now, but when he was in his 20s. Early 20s, as a teacher in a school, he was pursuing God, and he was a youth pastor in a Pentecostal church for 3 years. Prior to that, he was a Lutheran, grew up in just a normal church, came to really know the Lord, got on fire for God, and probably was in a time when there was a wave coming, a great big wave in the 70s, you know, lots was going on. But he caught a wave and he was really pursuing God, and he talks on there about times in his life where he really fasted and sought God, and he made it a habit in his life to pursue intimacy with God. And in the school he was in, 35 year 12 students came to the Lord, and 16 teachers in a state school. And a young man in that school that they reached for the Lord, who had a damaged club foot that he had to wear this great big boot, got supernaturally healed. And they would bring this guy into the classroom sometimes, and the guy would throw his boot up on the table and share what Jesus had done for him. I tell you, every one of those kids was listening, you know. A changed life, a miracle, something that God does. And, you know, he's lived long enough to see all the trying to crack the code, all the formulas, all the things. But I tell you what, he's still contending, and he's believing even now for a guy that's a couple of doors down from his house, that's a builder, that's fallen through a roof, and he's crippled. And he's saying to Alan, Alan led him to the Lord, I think, and the guy's saying, Alan, I want to walk again. And Alan doesn't know all the answers. He just knows Jesus. But he's wanting to contend for this guy. There's something in him that says, God, you're a miracle-working God, and he's pursuing it. I was challenged a few weeks ago. I was listening to a guy named Stuart Robinson, a Baptist guy who's from Melbourne. And he was a missionary in Bangladesh, where we had a good friend, Bishu, who was there for years, a missionary that our church supported. And Stuart Robinson went there to a Muslim-majority country, 99% Islamic, and he knew that to break into this place, he had to start. He felt like just doing the normal thing was not going to cut the grade. There was no Muslim people coming to the Lord much at all. And this guy decided he's going to do some serious praying and some serious fasting. And he really got pursuing God. And he saw miracles. This guy saw miracles. And he saw people coming to Christ from Muslim homes. You know, it wasn't massive, but he really broke some ground. He really saw God intervene in that nation. He came back here to Melbourne, and he found the climate in the church he was in the climate of the nation, wasn't very... wasn't particularly that contending. And he thought he's going to pray. And he would get up every day and go into the church and pray. And he started praying. And after a while, he didn't tell anyone. He just started doing it. Others started to join him. And that church grew to 9,000 people, you know. And that guy's had a significant mark and a footprint on our nation for God. And I don't know if it's a coincidence that there's a link between intimacy with God and contending for the miraculous, but I believe there is. And I think if we're hungry for it enough, God would long to give it to us. We need to contend for the miraculous. I was reading Daniel this week, and this I was so taken with his prayer. And this is the end of one of his prayers. He goes, these are what he says, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. You know, God acts when he hears us. God, we can move the heart of God, and we can move the hand of God. We can catch a wave. God responds to prayer. When we hunger for Jesus to be present, miracles happen. We're going to do some renovations in the church here in this building in the next few months, and we're going to make it more attractive. We're going to make it a bit more just more functional, just make it better. It's overdue, and I'm really excited we're going to do it. But you know what's more important is his presence with us, isn't it? Isn't that is what makes the difference? All the other things we can do are important, but the most important thing of all is his presence amongst us. When he's present, miracles happen. Let's get hungry and hungry and hungrier for him, because as we pursue it, it's not miracles because we want to see miracles. It's because we want to see God intervene in the lives of a broken world. We want to see change. We want to see him do things. The other thing I thought about, how do we contend? We cultivate faith. My observation of many of the miracles in the gospel is when faith is present, the miraculous happens. The miraculous happens in an atmosphere of faith. And it can be cultivated and it can be encouraged and it can be stirred. And Jesus said, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and these signs will follow those who believe. There's something following us if we believe and we are people of faith. God is attracted to it, and the miraculous will follow. We need to stand against unbelief and passivity and everything that would work against our faith. The last thing I often think about with contending is we need to hear from God, and that happens in intimacy. And when we hear from him, we need to obey him. We shared this last year. We did a series on faith, and this phrase in a book of Barry Chance really captured my heart, and it was, when we step out in faith, God steps in power. Miracles happen in an atmosphere of faith, but it's out of the intimacy, I believe, that God speaks to us. When we're close to him, when we're hungry for him, when we're pushing in for him, I tell you, it might just be reading the Bible, it might be just in worship, I believe God would speak. And I believe when he speaks, if we obey him, miracles will happen. We need to be bold. We need to have courage. The miracle is not in the hearing. The miracle is in the obeying. Moses heard the voice of God, and God said to him, stretch out your hand. The miracle happened when he stretched out his hand, you know. I thought about David running for Goliath. I'm sure God spoke something in that young guy's heart. There's something he'd known of the scriptures. There's something that was in his heart that was a word from God. And that's what gave him courage to say, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? And with courage in his heart, he took a run at the enemy. And he took off his head. And he had courage. He obeyed. He had courage to obey because he heard from God. And Joshua got a word from God to march around Jericho. But it was when he marched around it that the walls came down. Jesus said to a man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. And when he stretched it out, he was healed. You know, God's looking for courage. God's looking for faith. God's looking for intimacy. God's looking for us to contend for more. As we meditate today on the resurrection, let it stir in our hearts that we serve a living God who does the miraculous and intervenes in broken lives. Let's take that message to a broken world. Let's take the gospel. The gospel is Jesus died for your sins, but he's also risen from the dead, that he can intervene in the need that you're in and he can change your life. Because we've all experienced that at some point. I guarantee you live long enough and you follow the Lord for long enough, we've all weathered some storm and we've said, God, except you get me through this, I cannot get through. And our courage and our hope is in him. And he's proven himself time and time again. And we can, with confidence, go to a broken world and say, God is alive. And it's not just a story in the book. He's a living God that can change our lives. I just wonder if we could bring the communion table over here. Thanks, Shane. We're just going to take communion and finish on this. We're just going to roll back the tape a little bit from the resurrection to the crucifixion. And I just wonder if Carol and Shane and Ivan, back there, Beck's, and Deb. Deb, you want to pass these around? Just going to pass these around this morning, and we're going to confidently believe that this morning Jesus is present. Is he present? Is he with us this morning? Amen. We are the people of God. Where they, when they gather, he is especially present with us. And I want you to hold this in your hand and I'd just like to read you a little bit from Isaiah, just a couple of verses. There's so much in Isaiah 53 that's so good. But I'd like to read you one little verse, and it says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The arm of the Lord speaks of his power. You know, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And it goes on to say, but it begins with, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" He's present here, and we're going to remember him, remember what he did at the cross. But his power, his arm, is revealed if we will believe him this morning, if we will, in intimacy, connect with him and look to him. And I just invite you to receive communion today with fresh faith in your heart, to look to him. That song says, "God, I look to you." And we serve a living God who raises the dead, and he can intervene in our situations today. I ask you, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lies of the enemy that would cause a defeat to come in your mind? Are you going to look at the fog that's come over your eyes and the things you see that leaves you without hope? Or are you going to let the fog lift today and just believe him? Believe that he's the God that can do miracles, that can intervene in your life. It says, to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. His arm's been revealed. He's intervened for us. I just wonder if we're going to just play a song. Daniel, can we play that song, The Resurrecting? The band's gone. But if we could just stand and let's just enjoy this song. And let's, just at your own pace, somewhere, just connect with God this morning, like Ben was saying at the start. Just engage with him this morning. Look for his intervention in the situation you're in. You might think it's hopeless. You might feel there's nowhere to go, but God wants to intervene for you today. He wants to reveal his arm. He wants to be the God of miracles to you afresh today. And just engage with him. Let's just play the song. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.